And welcome everybody to the Hangout in the Holy Land, the official podcast for landgrantholyland.com, your free premier resource for all things Ohio State news and Ohio State athletics. I am your host, Matt Brown. We are recording this here late on a Tuesday afternoon, and you can follow us at landgrant33 on Twitter. We're on Facebook at Land Grant Holy Land. We are, the podcast is all over iTunes at itunes.com/sbnation/landgrantholyland, and we are at email at matt.brown@sbnation.com, just in case you need to send us something that can't be squeezed into a Facebook comment here or a tweet. It's good to be with you here. It's good to be talking here about Ohio State. We have some non-football news to actually talk about here, which is a little bit different, given now that the season is now very much over. National Signing Day is still a couple of weeks away. No one's committed in the past couple of days, and knock on wood, happened while I'm on the phone here talking to all of you guys. So we have a chance here to dig into a little bit more detail about the enigma wrapped in a paradox, wrapped in a puzzle, that is the Ohio State basketball team and also the Big Ten at large. Since going into this season, it seemed like that the Big Ten, after having a run of being one of the most successful conferences throughout college basketball, would be near there again. And a series of puzzling non-conference losses and some kind of mediocrity, now it's looking like that's not nearly the case. So to help us get a little bit of a better picture here about the Big Ten, and about Ohio State basketball, we're talking with our friend here, Thomas from the BT Powerhouse, the SB Nation blog covering Big Ten basketball. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. How's it going on your end?
I'm doing great. I know any day here is another damn paradise. I'm glad to be talking some hoops here with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you here for a little while, and we haven't had a chance with football being so busy, because this seems like a very strange Big Ten basketball season. You know, going into this year, it seemed like the Big Ten was thought to be one of the premier basketball conferences that had been that way the past couple of seasons, and you know, there looked to be a lot of parity within the league. And then Michigan loses to New Jersey Tech, and Eastern Michigan and Nebraska has some puzzling losses, and Michigan State does. And suddenly it seems like the shine has fallen off this conference a little bit. Do you still think that this is one of the best conferences in the country this season, or would the teams lose so much in the last couple of years that it's down a peg?
That's definitely an interesting thing, and I've kind of been a lot of people have been hard on me because I was really high on the Big Ten coming in this year, but I think it depends on what you consider. I think the Big Ten is still up there. I think you can make an argument that maybe they could come in at two or three. You know, depending on especially how the postseason goes. But I think the Big 12 has definitely established themselves as the best conference so far. But I think the Big 10, the biggest difference between this year and the last couple is that what I call like the upper middle. Last year, maybe it would have been like your Iowa, maybe your Ohio State. And the thing is last year those were borderline top 25 teams who were seeded pretty well in the NCAA tournament. This year, they're more top 40 teams, like seven seeds, kind of like that. And to me, that's been the biggest difference. And I think you alluded to it with the upsets. I think that's the biggest thing that's just holding those teams back at this point.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about that upper middle here. We'll start here with Ohio State. The Buckeyes bring in a renowned and celebrated recruiting class. You have D'Angelo Russell at the two guard, who's been one of the best scorers in the league, somebody who's almost certainly going to be a lottery pick coming into next season. And yet, Ohio State has struggled a little bit. And they've moved between man-to-man and zone defense here. They've really, this late into the season, haven't really beaten a good team. Their three Big Ten wins are against teams that right now are probably not going to be in the postseason. And it seems weird. You know, this is the first time that we've had this happen since we've been doing Land Grant. Not saying that this is what's going to happen, but it seems to me like there's a non-trivial chance Ohio State could miss the tournament. I'm curious to know, one, do you think that's possible? Is Ohio State a tournament team this season? And two, what's holding them back right now?
That definitely is an interesting thing. It always seems like there's one surprise team that kind of ends up on the bubble that people don't expect. But I was looking over Ohio State's you know, statistical profile before I came on. And it's really interesting to consider that perhaps, you know, in terms of quality of team, their best win might be at Minnesota, who is 1-4 or 5 in conference play, which is kind of telling about the team.
And they need an overtime to get that.
Yeah, yeah, it was, you know, I do believe Minnesota is going to come around, but that's not what you want as your top win, you know. And not to belabor the point, but they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, and they haven't really beaten the teams that are right there with them or above. I have to think that they're going to grab one of those wins, especially with teams like Indiana. Maybe Wisconsin, we'll see, you know, if they're fully healthy, but coming to Columbus, I'd have to think that they would knock off at least one of those teams to get that big win. And if they keep beating the average or bottom teams, I would think they definitely would have enough, you know, with that big win to get in. In terms of what's holding them back, so to speak, I think it's kind of been a mix of things, which might be cheating out of the question, but, you know, Russell's obviously been a great piece, definitely in the running for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, if he isn't, you know, at the top spot so far. But he did struggle early on against those top teams, which I think contributed to those slow starts, you know, getting down big against Louisville, coming back, making it a game, but, failing to close the deal. But more now, I feel like he's starting to get his legs, especially, you know, in that Minnesota game, which we were just talking about. But he was great in that game, one of the best performances of the season. But now I feel like he's looking for his Robin offensively, I guess. It seems like, you know, it's a mix. Shannon Scott will show up for a game. Sam Thompson will. But I don't think they have that big threat that he can really play off of right now. But we'll see. You know, maybe one of the freshmen will pop out.
Yeah, the lack of a consistent second scorer for Ohio State is a problem this year, and seems to have been a problem really for the past couple of years, when, you know, you could substitute Russell for Sean Thomas or even LaQuinton Ross last year, where you have one guy who's getting all the buckets, and then you kind of roll the dice and hope that maybe somebody else helps a little bit. And certainly that has been a problem here for Ohio State. I guess the good news, or maybe bad news here, you know, depending on how you look at it, Ohio State doesn't have to play Iowa again the rest of the season, and they only play Maryland and Wisconsin, the two top teams in the league, once, and they're both at home. Maybe the odds are pretty good that you can steal one of those, but if you need to make up some ground here with the committee as far as your quality wins, you don't have a ton of opportunities left. They only play Michigan State once as well. And so from there, it really is kind of the mushy middle or bottom half here of the Big Ten. One team that's in that grouping right now that I don't think either of us expected at this point is Michigan, who definitely does not look like a postseason team right now, or at least not an NCAA team. And now their best player looks to be out for the year. What's happened with Michigan? Certainly, you know, they've lost some star talent over the past couple of years, but you got a great coach. You have a bunch of people who can shoot on the perimeter very well. You have some athleticism, and this team has really taken a step back now. And even though they've done okay here within the Big Ten standings, those terrible losses to begin the year really kind of put them behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Coming from a person who had Michigan slated in at number two before the year, it was definitely shocking to see how they've played. I think the biggest thing is on paper, Michigan had everything coming into this year. You know, they had the freshmen, but the ones who they needed to play were highly rated. They had Karis LeVert, their star, and they had, you know, Zach Ervin, Derek Walton coming back. But I think the thing is it was kind of everything was slightly below where you kind of thought it was going to be. And then they had some injuries earlier in the year. Right now they're kind of decimated by injuries, but, you know, early on, Derek Walton was a little bit limited. Spike was, which I think certainly, you know, slowed down the offense. But outside of that, the front court has definitely been the biggest issue for Michigan. They thought, you know, Cameron Chapman could come in. He was a four-star recruit. A lot of big schools were after him. And he really hasn't hit the ground running. And then Mark Donnell, they thought, was going to start at center. And He's been very underwhelming. So I think that's the biggest thing is the freshmen, a lot of people had slotted in, you know, based off the Trey Burks and the Nick Stauskases, and, you know, everybody coming in and hitting the ground running, didn't do that this year, which I think caught a lot of people off guard. And then they looked at the depth, as you mentioned, because all of these guys have been leaving and going pro or transferring or for whatever reason. So I think it's kind of the combination, and I guess it just all hit at once.
Yeah, sometimes those kind of things happen. You can get unlucky, and when you're not bringing in five-star, you know, loaded recruiting classes, you know, Michigan's been very successful in basketball. They're not Kentucky. For that matter, neither is Ohio State. So eventually, you know, perhaps one of those things kind of catches up to you. There's one other team that's taken a step back this season that I've been really surprised by. I want to hear your thoughts on, and that's Nebraska. Tim Miles, in part because of his and his tweeting during games, is probably the biggest media darling in this group. He had this beautiful new stadium. The Cornhuskers were nearly unbeatable at home, and they're returning their two best players from last season when they cracked the top four in the Big Ten. And so far, even though they've been competitive-ish in Big Ten play, the season's been a disaster. They've lost to Hawaii. They've lost to something called an Incarnate Word. They got hammered by Creighton. They lost on the road in overtime to Rhode Island. We're fortunate to beat some WCC squads this year, and they've been one of the worst teams with moving the ball around. So even though Petaway and Shields have done really well, this team now seems kind of ensconced in the lower side here of the Big Ten. What the hell happened with Nebraska, and do they have a chance to turn things around this year?
Yeah, definitely a big step back. I know a couple of people had talked about before the year kind of last year's Nebraska kind of was living on the edge in a lot of those games, which I think a lot of people had forgotten over the offseason that, you know, a lot of these games were close. They were relying on defense and just Petaway to play hero ball and just get them enough points to get by whoever it was. And the other part was is that I think a lot of people forgot how bad Nebraska was at the beginning of the year last year. They kind of had the miraculous run through Big Ten play. You know, they beat Wisconsin, Michigan State, maybe caught a couple of those teams off guard. But I think that's the first part of it. Maybe they were overrated a little bit last year. However, it still is surprising how far they dropped off. I think part of it is, you know, they had some guys who contributed a lot who ended up missing time this year, like Leslie Smith. He wasn't, you know, as big as Shields or Petaway, but I mean, he was a contributor, and he missed pretty much the whole start of the season. So I think that factored in, but it's definitely been surprising to see how far they've dropped. And I think part of it's, as you mentioned, but you know, they haven't moved the ball well on offense. They weren't exactly great at it last year, but they kind of regressed even further. And then Petaway, he is a shot-taking machine. So sometimes that's good, sometimes it's really bad. But I don't know how much of a shot they have now, and outside of, you know, maybe a huge run in the Big Ten tournament. But you know, I think they do. I'm trying to remember who they play ahead. But I think they do get some big teams at home. They get Wisconsin again, Iowa, you know, so maybe they can pull off some upsets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they do play pretty well at home typically.
Okay. So we spent the last couple of minutes here, you know, beating the drum of disappointment for some of these teams that we thought they were going to be better and struggled a little bit. I'm interested to hear what are some either teams or players within this conference that have been a pleasant surprise for you?
A pleasant surprise, I would definitely say runaway pick is Maryland. They had all the pieces. Again, I feel like that's kind of a theme of the Big Ten this year. A lot of teams had pieces, but it was whether they meshed this year. And Maryland, people had been talking the last couple of years. They were recruiting well. When's it going to finally click? Maybe Turgeon can only recruit and they can't actually, you know, win. And I think this is the year it finally clicked when they got Mello Trimble. And they have been a really good team. I mean, I'm not sure if all your listeners have been following them too closely, but they are definitely a top 10 team, or at least right there. And I think they I know Wisconsin fans will hate me for saying this, but I think they have a serious shot at winning the Big Ten because, as you mentioned, for Ohio State, they have a similar situation where they only play Wisconsin at home coming up. And I think, obviously, it'll be a huge game, but I wouldn't be surprised if Maryland can get a share of that title this year. Outside of them, Penn State was the non-conference beauty. They've kind of underachieved in conference play, but the one team who has been kind of a pleasant surprise in conference play, though, is Purdue, who has pulled off some solid wins. They've played some teams pretty tough. They beat Minnesota. They beat Michigan at home. They did just beat Penn State on the road, and they have a lot of those middle kind of teams, Illinois, they have Indiana. So they could get a decent run here over the next couple of weeks and maybe get on that bubble if they do get some wins.
Yeah, Purdue's an interesting case because they have, I think, personnel-wise, they have something that they can, you know, that very few teams in this league have right now, and that's size. There's so many teams in the Big Ten that are relying on shooting, whether that's outside shooting or you know, mid-range jump shots. And Purdue has a 1-2 combination where they can bully teams around a little bit and get some post baskets. How effectively they've done that is, you know, varies, which is why they're 11-7 right now. But it's a matchup that I don't think a lot of teams, you know, you're not going to relish playing Purdue. And given how much they've struggled, they really need to get into the postseason. I think this year or make a big run for it. I'm with you with Maryland. They've been great given Wisconsin's health issues. It's certainly possible they can give them a run there. The Wisconsin doesn't play Maryland until near the end of the season. And I don't know about you, you know, I'm actually a little bit surprised in Rutgers. And make no mistake, like Rutgers sucks. They every single team in the Big Ten has a winning record. The Scarlet Knights being 510-9, but they've already won two Big Ten games, and one of those was against Wisconsin. And I think before the season, if you were trying to figure an over under for Big Ten wins for the Scarlet Knights, I would have put it at around 2.5. And you know, in the beginning of this year, when they lost to a team called the Peacocks, and I believe very badly, that wasn't exactly inspiring a ton of confidence here. But if nothing else, they have been competitive. And I think you can say that about basketball in this league the past couple of years. Even the bad teams have shown that they can be competitive. I think Penn State beat Michigan the year that they were like in the top five.
Yeah, I definitely that is a good thing. You pointed out Rutgers. They have been surprisingly good in conference play, as you mentioned. The Wisconsin win is definitely good. I know there's a little asterisk with Kaminsky and Jackson being out for that game, but I mean they beat Penn State and they've played Maryland tough. They played Minnesota tough. It kind of is amazing considering that before the year, people were talking about Rutgers potentially going 0-18 in conference play, and asking whether it can actually happen. But have two wins already. They're borderlining being to the point where this is already a successful season for them. I think a lot of it's been they had a big freshman class coming in. They're kind of still suffering under the whole Mike Rice situation from a couple of years ago. But they have finally rebuilt their roster. They don't necessarily have top-end talent, but I think that's part of it is those freshmen getting some minutes and starting to come around.
Yeah, and you know, you're located in a market, in an area that produces a fair amount of high school basketball talent. So you know, you have a coach that's been in the NBA. You have to think that the Scarlet Knights have nowhere to go but up. I'm not sure they're going to win. You know, they may not win two more conference. Even that has exceeded my admittedly low expectations for them. So you know, looking at this right now at some of the big mock brackets that are happening, and obviously this is still like late January, so a ton of stuff could change. But we're seeing the Big Ten at between 6 and 7 teams. Making the tournament right now. So you have Maryland, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Iowa. Those are top 25 caliber programs. You feel that barring some kind of epic collapse that they're going to be in the tournament. Ohio State is still in most brackets. You see Michigan State or Illinois kind of hovering around that line for a few others. How many teams do you think from this conference ultimately get into the big dance and which ones?
If I had to guess right now, I think I would probably go with 6. I think most of the teams you mentioned, you know, Wisconsin, Maryland, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State, and I do think Ohio State will make it. The one team that kind of seems to be on the edge right now, or even in the discussion or not in the discussion, is Illinois. They had a pretty good non-conference slate. They have kind of struggled a bit in Big Ten play. They lost to Michigan. They just lost to Indiana. But if you actually go through, the only real bad loss they have, which you can question how bad it is, was that road game against Michigan where they lost in overtime and Michigan was introducing Jim Harbaugh and a lot of weird, you know, situations in that game. But the thing that makes me doubt they'll actually make it is they are another team that's struggling a lot with injuries. Ravonte Rice is still out. He's clearly the team's best player. So I am a bit skeptical, and they should be able to beat, you know, the Rutgers, the Penn States, but I'm skeptical of them being able to consistently beat your Minnesotas, your Purdue's, the teams that they need to beat to get off the bubble and get in.
Yeah, they really do have kind of an interesting computer profile right now. So the Illini are 12-7. That Ken Pom does not think very highly of them. They're ranked there, and their RPI, which I recognize is a stupid statistic, but it's one the committee uses, so we have to talk about it. They're currently 60. And like the good news, if you're Illinois, is that you're 2-1 against the RPI top 25, and you're 2-3 against the top 50, which is relatively respectable. And you know, given that you know, Champaign's not the easiest place to play in the world. They get healthy, they can, you know, pick up another win or two from there. But they're 0-3 in the 51 to 100 mark. And 60 is not a very good RPI. I mean, teams in the 51 to 60 range get left out all the time. So that's, yeah, they have the potential to get there, but they're going to need to pick up some big wins in conference play and maybe, you know, get a little bit hot in the tournament, I think, to get on that right side of the ball. Ohio State's not much better right now. They're 55th behind BYU, Boise State, and something called a Wofford. So a couple of teams in the Big Ten right now have some work to do, but there's still quite a bit of basketball left to be played. I think those are the big things here. For anybody else who has not been following either Ohio State super closely or the Big Ten super closely, because it's been like all football season all the time, what is, you know, a team or a player that you would recommend that they especially like keen on now if they're just getting reintroduced to college basketball?
Well, the one thing I would point out, I was just looking through this the other day, but somebody asked, you know, who are the teams to watch over the next couple of weeks? I think there are two teams to watch in the Big Ten who are both regarded as pretty solid, but they kind of have flip sides for schedules right now. The first one is Michigan State. I think I'm projecting this, I guess, but they are set up to have a very good run over the next month or so. I think they're favored by KenPom in like their next 10 games. The first game they aren't favored in is in March. So, they have a pretty manageable schedule over the next month or so. So we could really see them not only skyrocket up the Big Ten standings, but also in the seedings, everything like that, the rankings. So I'd say they're a team to keep an eye on to make a big run. The flip side, I think, is Indiana. They've just pulled off a few solid wins. They beat Ohio State. They just beat Penn State. And then they just beat Illinois on the road in a pretty loud and rowdy environment. So they're playing pretty well, but they have a pretty tough stretch over the next five games. So through the end of January, they get Maryland at home, at Ohio State, Purdue on the road, Rutgers at home, and Wisconsin on the road. They're only favored to win one of those games by KenPom. So I think we could see Indiana just got in the rankings this week, so we could potentially see a big tumble out of them over the end of this month. But those are the two teams I'd recommend keeping an eye on.
Indiana is interesting. I've only watched a couple of Hoosier games this season. I really wasn't especially impressed with the team that beat Ohio State in Bloomington. That was a game that had Ohio State not shot like 17% from three-point land. Or if Sam Thompson makes one free throw at the end of the game, I think the Buckeyes probably win as crappily as they played. And Indiana's size issues, I think, are you know, could definitely blow up even against a team that's not as good as them. But I believe as Saint Dion Waiters told us that men lie, women lie, computers lie, but buckets don't. And so far, Indiana has found a way to get those. So perhaps if they'll be able to appease the Fire Tom Crean masses and get a couple more buckets to stay on the right side of the cut line. Thank you here so much here for your time. Real quick, where can the good people here of the internet find the things that you are writing if they want to catch up a little bit more on Big Ten basketball coverage?
They can find all of our stuff at BT Powerhouse. You can just search it on Google, it'll pop right up. Or I'm Thomas Bendit. I'm on Twitter at tbendit. We got a lot of good stuff if you're looking for the whole conference as a whole.
All right. Hey, Thomas, thanks again for your time. We'll be sure to send our guys over to BT Powerhouse. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. You guys too.
All right. Bye. Thanks. All right. That's our friend Thomas. And I will definitely say this for people who are just trying to get up to speed right now, not just Ohio State, but the conference as a whole, or where they stand here in this race, or their chances here. BT Powerhouse is a really, really good basketball site. It's a very strong conference site on SB Nation. And I would encourage you to make that part of your reading repertoire. There's a bunch of Buckeye articles obviously that are on our site, but to get a feel for the lay of the land, that's as good a place as any. We discussed in a little bit more detail about what's wrong with Ohio State leading up to, earlier this week here on Land Grant Holy Land. And I don't mean to sound like too overly pessimistic, because the Buckeyes are, I mean, they're ranked, in the 40s and 8 or 9 seed right now if you do bracketology. But they still have a potentially an extremely dynamic backcourt. They have a bunch of, almost all of their scorers outside of Shannon Scott are very young. And so you can evaluate that they're going to grow a little bit. And the last two seasons, Ohio State has started relatively slowly, with only late January, maybe only one quality win or so, or maybe not anything on the road. So this kind of anguish is not anything new. It's just that the Ohio State schedule breaks a different way that I think makes the worst case scenario a little bit more possible. That being said, if you put a gun in my head right now, I still think Ohio State makes the tournament. There are some real problems right now with the inconsistency of their backcourt shooting. And games when D'Angelo Russell is, shooting 22% from the floor, or Shannon Scott is struggling with his jump shot, Buckeyes don't win. And obviously the problems here with their front court, especially in zone defense, particularly with our friend Mr. Amir Williams, I think have also been rather well-documented. I've made a point of trying to defend Amir over the last couple of seasons, and he still really does actually do some things pretty well in terms of just providing rim protection and being a defensive big within the context of the Big Ten. Amir Williams is still an above average player. The problem is that he does, among many, especially given the relatively high expectations he had coming into the program, checks in and out of games, does not rebound well for his size, gets lost on defense, doesn't have great hands. Really the only thing he does above average, I think, offensively is shoot free throws. That's going to lead to a lot of chagrin and ire, and that's happened. So I'll have to see if that fire can get lit under him a little bit, and if he can improve, and if Ohio State can improve well enough to, not just improve on a potentially dicey 8-9 game and maybe a matchup with like a Kentucky or a Duke, but to get in the tournament at all. So that does it here with basketball. There's a bunch of other stuff going on our site right now. We have another look at our preseason football predictions. We do these, we did these last year a couple of days before Braxton Miller got hurt. So that obviously changes things a little bit. But we really, I think, did a relatively decent job of predicting not just the biggest Ohio State storylines, but those across college football, with the exception of whoever the guy was that put Oklahoma in the playoffs preseason. That one didn't turn out so well. So be sure to give that a look. We have some new T-shirts that we've partnered with that we're selling here. And we have some more stuff about basketball, and obviously leading up into National Signing Day with our daily state secrets. So that's just going to that is going to do it here for us. The next Buckeye basketball game will be later in the week at Northwestern. We'll have all the previews and information there. In the meantime, we're at Land Grant 33. We're on Facebook. We are on iTunes. We're on the email, and you can follow me at MattSVN. I'm Matt Brown. This has been the Hangout in the Holy Land. Thanks for listening. Go Bucks.